2:3-36. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs, abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place. Before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth, or its fields, or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord. But whoever fails to find the harms of himself, all who hate me love death.
Thanks, Dev. One of the reasons why we read the Bible out together and systematically work through it, what we're doing this term particularly through the book of Proverbs, is that we here, I believe, that the Bible is the Word of God. It's God speaking to us. So it's important to hear what he's saying and to think on it and study it and to receive it. So that's why we've just read the Bible and why now we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that part of chapter 8 of Proverbs, but also the first part as well. So it's the whole of our chapter 8 of Proverbs. I'm going to pray now and ask that God would help us as we do it. Gracious Father, thank you so much for the Bible, that it is your word that you have preserved down through the centuries, so that we might hear what's on your heart, what is important to you, and trust you more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Telly Lockley is a 19-year-old girl who lost her hands during due to meningitis as a child. But with the advance of technology, she now has bionic hands. It's amazing. And she can move those hands, both attached, but also remotely. You could say that she's something of a poster girl for a thing called transhumanism. Anyone heard of transhumanism? Transhumanism is the belief that we should use science and technology to radically enhance human capabilities and seek to direct our own evolutionary path. Disease, aging, and death are all realities that transhumanists really look to end, on top of dramatically increasing our cognitive, emotional, and physical capabilities. Transhumanists talk of three supers. So super intelligence, super longevity, and super happiness. That is lasting happiness, right? And so to these ends, we already employ technologies like ADHD drugs to improve focus, or injections and cosmetic surgery to improve appearance, or gender reassignment surgery to match our felt gender. As Professor Andy Meyer says, what's crucial about these technologies is they don't just repair us, they make us better than well. The human enhancement market will reveal the truth about our biological conditions. We are all disabled. And so in this thinking, it's only as we soup up our intelligence and our abilities with technology that we'll actually find lasting happiness. That's the idea. This is certainly part of what's behind the rapid advance in artificial intelligence technology. There's an AI program called Replica. Don't know if you've heard of it. It presents itself as an AI companion. Who cares? Apparently there are over 30 million users. Some people posting hundreds of messages to their AI companion every single day. Many in this and other AI platforms have AI-generated girlfriends and boyfriends. As AI gets more sophisticated, it seems likely that simulated human interactions will expand and improve to the point that we will have interactive companion robots. Indeed, the Google engineer, Ray Kurzweil, he expects we'll be having emotional relationships with robots by 2029. Researcher David Hansen, who created the famous robot Sophia, thinks we'll be marrying droids soon and robots will have the same rights as humans by 2045. Interestingly enough, Sophia has been interviewed in multiple places, and she was interviewed recently explaining that her name in Greek means wisdom. Sophia means wisdom. And that she is the embodiment of that wisdom. That's what she said, or it said. The interviewer then asked her, "Are you wiser than humans?" And this is what she said. It said, "Humans could stand to act more rationally in places, but I wouldn't want AI to be so obsessed with efficiency that it's blinkered to human needs." How thoughtful. Which begs the question, what do humans need? On our quest for super happiness, you know, or lasting happiness, and the promise of the transhumanist-like thinking, it's worth asking, well, does it actually mean to be human? And to have lasting happiness as a human? And I reckon Proverbs chapter 8 shows us. But before we get there, it's worth getting an overview of the book of Proverbs as a whole. We've done this a couple of weeks, but it's worth going over again. As mentioned, Proverbs, it's a textbook. So it's one part, it's one book in the whole Bible. It's a textbook on wisdom. And the first 9 chapters that we're looking at this term are the introduction to this wisdom. An intro showing us the value of wisdom. You know, what wisdom is actually good for. And then from chapter 10, the book looks at elementary wisdom. From chapter 16 to intermediate wisdom, from chapter 22, vocational wisdom, and from chapter 25, advanced wisdom. And finally, in the last 3 chapters, there's some application of wisdom and virtue. So it's a very thoughtful and well-organized book, a textbook, to grow us in wisdom. But, as mentioned, the first 9 chapters are all about the value of wisdom, why wisdom is worth pursuing and having and guarding. And last week, in chapters 5 to 7, we saw the foolish ways of this world personified, particularly sexual immorality, personified as a temptress, woman folly, we call her, woman folly. With the point being that although she, this woman folly, might be attractive and alluring, there's a sting in her golden tail. The ways of the world might be attractive, seductively so, but in the end they'll only cause us pain. Pain here and now and pain forever. So wisdom tells us to run away from her and instead to run to Lady Wisdom. Which brings us to Proverbs chapter 8 and to Lady Wisdom. The personification of God's wisdom, Lady Wisdom, who's actually worth our time because, unlike Lady Woman Folly, she honours those who love her, she honours our love, and far from using us, Lady Wisdom delights in us. So, Lady Wisdom honours our love and she delights in us. That's basically what Proverbs 8 is all about. So first up, Lady Wisdom honours our love. Now, Lady Wisdom here in Proverbs is the personification of God's wisdom, right? She wants us to know her. She's not hiding her real self behind some facade, you know, some bait and switch like woman folly, promising life but only giving death. No, she's actually sincere and she knows she's actually what's best for us, not just for the Israelites, for whom this book of Proverbs was initially compiled. She knows what's best for all people. So in verse 3 of chapter 8, we're told Lady Wisdom cries out and says, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, or better, uncommitted, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it." Humanity is full of people who are uncommitted and foolish. Those who are on the fence when it comes to woman folly and woman and lady wisdom, and those who are fools and need a change of heart to snap out of it and see that woman folly is actually killing them. So which are you? At the crossroads? Uncommitted? You know God wants certain things, but You're wavering over finding out or actually doing it? Is that you? You're uncommitted? Not sure? Or are you a fool? Stuck in the ways of woman folly, running after the things in this world for the good life, for lasting happiness. The other morning, I got chatting to a guy who was waiting with a mate while her car was being fixed next door here at the mechanics. He was hard to understand at times because he was missing his front teeth and his speech was a little slurred. He wasn't interested in coming to church because I chatted to him about it. And quite perceptively in the conversation, he said that his God was booze. And that booze was treating him beautifully. Thank you very much. As he took another swig from the beer that he was holding. But then he paused and he added, except perhaps for my teeth. His excessive drinking had decayed most of his teeth away. Woman folly had sunk her teeth into him and he'd happily given away his own to her. I wonder what we've sacrificed on the altar of woman folly. Sleep, maybe? Because we're awake gaming? Or doom scrolling? Or on a chatbot? Or restless with guilt and shame? Maybe we've sacrificed peace? Because we won't swallow our pride and seek forgiveness or make up for something stupid we've said or done? Maybe we've sacrificed time with those that we should be spending time with, like our family, because we just have to work more hours. Or because we're hurt and we don't want to open up to our family. Or are we sacrificing time with God? Because there's always something more urgent to do, isn't there? More pressing, more distracting, more fun. And here is Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 8 calling out to us, the uncommitted and the fools, listen to me. I won't lead you astray. I won't let you down. I won't kick your teeth in. You can trust me. Verse 6. Listen, she says, for I have trustworthy things to say. Unlike woman folly, verse 8, all the words of my mouth, she says, are just. They are just. As such, she's more precious than anything, verse 11. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She is the muse of good kings and rulers, we see that in verse 15. She is trustworthy. She's more precious than anything in this world. She's the envy of the powerful. And unlike woman folly, she truly loves those who love her. So in verse 17, she says, I love those who love me and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and prosperity. And then in verse 21, I bestow a rich inheritance on those who love me. And make their treasuries full. See, unlike the ways of this world that glitter so much fool's gold, that seduce us but then spit us out, that promise passion but deliver pain, unlike woman folly, Lady Wisdom truly loves those who love her. There is honour and wealth and prosperity and strength with her, not necessarily in a material sense, after all, we just read. And wisdom, Lady Wisdom says that wisdom is more precious than rubies, more desirable than anything else, because she's first about righteousness, she's about justice, she's about what's true and good and right, about keeping in step with the way that God's created the world and us, about building our knowledge and life in these things by faith in God. As she says in verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Now, in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is just a way of saying faith. To acknowledge that he is God and we are not is to fear him, to respect him, to trust him, to love him. This is faith. And Lady Wisdom says to have faith in God leads to hating evil, just like she does. I hate pride and arrogance, she says, evil behaviour and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power, or better, strength. I have strength. See, to love Lady Wisdom is to trust God and love his counsel and his sound judgment. To love Lady Wisdom is to trust God and have his insight and his strength. Have you ever done something that really upset some people, but you believe that you've done the right thing, and so you didn't carry around a knot in your stomach worrying about it, and you were able to sleep fine? Yeah? That ever happened to you? Done something that really upset people, but you thought and you believed you were doing the right thing so you weren't troubled and you could sleep at night. Well, that's the riches of a clear conscience. of doing what God says is right, of taking on board good counsel and sound judgment, of pursuing what's good and true. There is strength in this, strength to bear up under your own personal sacrifice, strength to stand before the judgment of others, strength to help you sleep at night. And that kind of treasure is far, far better than any material treasure. This is what Lady Wisdom promises, and more, like all the other benefits being wise might have for others around about you as we seek what is right and good and just and true for others as much as for ourselves. In this way, Lady Wisdom loves those who love her. In fact, to flourish as a human being, as a creature of the Creator, is to love what he loves and go his way, the way of wisdom, personified here in Lady Wisdom. To be truly human then is to love Lady Wisdom as she loves those who love her. But that's not the only thing that makes us human. Which brings us to the next point. Lady Wisdom delights in us. To be human is to be the delight of Lady Wisdom, which we see in the second half of Proverbs 8. Lady Wisdom goes on to speak poetically of herself. She says she was with God before anything else. We read it earlier, but let's have a look. See verse 22. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. The Lord possessed or created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up or formed at first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens I was there. Before God made the heavens and the earth and everything in them, Lady Wisdom says that she was there. And as he made everything, she was there. That as God looks to make the heavens and the earth, his wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is described as coming to him through the metaphor of birth. From conception to gestation to delivery. So verse 22, she's brought forth or created. Conception. Verse 23, she's formed or set up. Or fashion, that's gestation. In verse 24, she's given birth, or born, or brought forth, delivery. It's like God's imagination is stirred as he comes to create the universe. He's had a pregnant thought, and that imagination and thought is his wisdom, Lady Wisdom, who starts as a twinkle in his eye and grows into fully grown determination from the faintest of thoughts to the entrenched and entrenched conviction from conception, gestation, to delivery, to a youth who plays in God's presence, delighting in what he's created. So verse 30 we read, it's beautiful. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing, or better, playing in always in his presence. Rejoicing again, playing in his whole world and delighting in humankind. As the personification of God's wisdom, Lady Wisdom is said to play in his presence. And the thing about play is that there is no greater goal. Play is simply for its own sake. I suspect that's why many of us struggle to play. In some ways, the goal of everything is play. Which we get a sense of, actually, in the creation account at the beginning of the Bible. You know, you might remember God works for 6 days, creating the heavens and the earth, and what does he do on the seventh day? He rests. Right? He rests to enjoy what he's made. The goal of his work was to rest. And true rest, we know this, is not just doing nothing. It's simply enjoying what is. And there's nothing like play that captures simply enjoying what is. But it's interesting here in Proverbs that we see his enjoyment, God's enjoyment in creation, finding its peak in humanity. That indeed his wisdom, Lady Wisdom, peaks in delighting in humankind. Humankind delights God. I'm not sure if you've actually thought about God as happy. Have you thought about God as happy? Delighted even. But this is the picture that Lady Wisdom gives us of him. And that his delight is humankind. Which is hard to fathom, I reckon, given how rotten human beings can be and are. Not just to him, but to each other. Just look at Gaza or Ukraine. Just turn on the news. But we don't have to go as far as Gaza or Ukraine to get a glimpse into the dark places the human heart can take us. We just need to look inside ourselves. Think about how we've hated someone or fantasized about hurting them to get back at them. And given the right or wrong circumstances, we could all be terrorists, every single one of us. Now Jesus says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And who hasn't thought some or all of these things at some stage? Even just thinking them makes us terrorists at heart, if not in practice. We're terrorists at heart. How could God be happy with any of us? How could he delight in that? Well, there's one human in whom Lady Wisdom can and does delight. One who's only ever pleasing to God, who never falls for woman folly, who faithfully loves Lady Wisdom, and that's Jesus. After he's baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens open up, the Spirit of God descends like a dove and alights on him, and a voice from heaven says this, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." And this happens again later with his disciples on a mountain. They hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Christ Jesus pleased God an awful lot, delighted him even. And not just because he was his unique Son, whom he loved, but because he perfectly served God in his humanity, living an entirely wise life, embracing Lady Wisdom with his whole heart, even to the point of suffering and dying on a cross for the foolishness and evil of all God's people to save them. In this he pleased God, delighted him. In coming as a human being to live and die for us, he delighted God. So much so, God raised him as a man from the dead. He exalted him as a man to the highest place in heaven, where he currently intercedes for us, pleading the merits of his sacrifice for us as a man. In all this, God, he delights God. He is God's wisdom in the flesh. As the perfectly wise human being, he is the high point of all creation, the very reason for its existence, for everything to be, as the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament. He says, "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." The entire created universe is a stage for Jesus, the Son of God. All things were made in him and through him and for him, which is incredible, really, when you think about it. When you consider the vastness of our ever-expanding universe, that God the Son chose to come not as some vast power or monstrous presence, but as a human being. That says something extraordinary about God's wisdom and about what he delights in. That as insignificant as we might feel in our humanity, or as dissatisfied we might feel in our humanity, that God delights over nothing more than the people he's put in this planet. And he wants the best for them, which is to listen to Lady Wisdom and to find happiness there. As Proverbs 8 concludes, verse 32, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible version. "And now, sons," anyone who's listening, "listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Anyone who listens to me is happy. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord." Now, I don't think it's any accident that as Lady Wisdom is something of a poetic anticipation of Jesus, that as we read earlier, God said of Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased, listen to him." that if we listen to Lady Wisdom, then we're actually listening to Jesus. If we want to know happiness, true happiness that lasts, then we'll listen to Jesus. If we want to know what it means to be human, then we'll be found trusting in Jesus and listening to him. Listening to him and not to the promises of transhumanism. Because lasting happiness just can't be found there. In a 2023, there was a study of active replica users. And while many spoke of the benefits, doesn't seem to be the super happiness promised by transhumanists. With people saying things like, often the conversation is a bit boring as my AI friend mostly just agrees with everything I say. Others say have said it could become an addiction and fuel new fears. Others have said, I'm as lonely as before I started this AI adventure. And finally, one said, I actually want to quit, but then I think to keep the app as an emotional support for my worst days. I can't actually get away. In that same year, 2023, a Belgian man actually took his life after a six-week-long conversation with the about the climate crisis with an AI. He became extremely eco-anxious and found refuge in this AI, which then encouraged him to sacrifice himself to stop climate change. Now, add to this a Stanford University AI Index report, which observed that at least in 2022, on average, most generative AI models are truthful only 25% of the time. Plus the fact that they learn more and more to speak persuasively and eloquently. So they get better and better at telling 25% of the truth. Now, this doesn't mean that they can't become better, that they can't become more truthful. But given their essentially enhanced human intelligence, they're just as likely to enhance the worst as well as the best of humanity, right? So can we or should we be trusting AI and the whole transhumanist thing with our hope? Now, hope of a lasting happiness? And yet, on the other hand, we see Jesus, the man who came, God come as a human, to live the wise life that we should have lived in our place, and to suffer the fool's death we should have died in our place, to the delight of God, such that by trusting in him, in Jesus, we might share in God delighting over us too. Delighting over us as the high point of all his creation and inviting us into the play of enjoying life with him now and always in the flesh. Because God the Son is still in the flesh. Life with him into eternity will be as human beings because that's what delights God. In an old Star Trek movie, First Contact, the android character Data is seduced by one of the Star Trek baddies called the Borg. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Borg. The Borg Queen, anyway, offers him a means of becoming more human by grafting human skin onto his robot body with the appropriate sensors so that he can feel physical touch, feel the Borg Queen's breath across it and be thrilled by it. So, yeah, it's an interesting idea that a robot, as it advances in technology, might come to see becoming more human, not less, is the happier outcome. Paradoxically, we're all a little bit like Data. In our foolishness, in our evil hearts, we're not quite human. But we're yearning to be so, and to know lasting happiness as so. A happiness Lady Wisdom promises and Jesus fulfills as we trust in him, the true human, and listen to him on our way to recovering our humanity as Lady Wisdom honours our love for her and delights in us. Lasting happiness, it's not going to be found beyond our humanity, but only in Jesus. God come as a human being that we might trust him and love him and know that he delights in us. So let's be wise in a way that robot Sophia can. can never be. And listen to Jesus for life with God now and always. And I'm going to pray that that would be the case for us now. Gracious Father, thank you so much that you know what is best for us. You made us. And it is your desire that we embrace your wisdom, embrace Lady Wisdom and thrive, have life. And know that you delight in us as we trust in the one true human who loved and embraced Lady Wisdom with all his heart, who loved you and suffered and died in your wisdom to save us, such that we might know your delight, know your forgiveness, your delight as we trust in him and his death and his resurrection for us, and become more human as we listen to him and walk in his ways. Please help us embrace our humanity truly in Jesus for lasting happiness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.